Welcome to the Financial Analyst Journal Author Interview Series. I'm Pat Light, Assistant Editor at CFA Institute. We're here today with Jean-François Lair to discuss his recent FAJ article, Industry-Based Alternative Equity Indices, published in the March-April 2013 issue. Jean-François, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
In this interview series, as you know, we invite our authors to discuss their articles with us, so let's jump right in with the first question. First, Jean-François, what was the practical issue or issues that motivated your research?
That's so scalability, low complexity, and low cost were the key elements that motivated our research, and let me explain why. At $183 billion, the Canada Pension Plan Fund is the largest single-purpose pool of capital in Canada and ranks among the world's largest retirement fund. The chief actuary projects that the Canada Pension Fund will increase rapidly, and as such, long-term investment horizon, size, growth, and certainty of cash flows are structural comparative advantages for Canada Pension Plan Investment Board. However, scalability, low complexity, and low cost represent also challenges for CPPIB. Why? First, scalability. The rapid projected growth of the Canada Pension Plan Fund makes scalability of value add, expressed in percentage terms, a significant challenge. The potential dollar amount of value add for the total fund can rise, but not in direct proportion to the growth of the asset base. Alternative beta has probably a lower expected information ratio than alpha strategies, but is more scalable. The impact in terms of dollar value add is higher because the risk can be deployed on a larger asset base. Second, low complexity and low cost. Compared with higher costs and complex active management strategies, alternative beta has the potential of reducing expenses and is less complex. Alternative beta is easier to execute, and it requires a less additional headcount. Further, it is easier to monitor, necessitates less oversight, and has potentially less reputational risk.
All right, and what was your approach to those issues?
Our approach was twofold. To design alternative equity indices, AEI, related to cap-weighted or float-weighted indices that are scalable, not complex, and low-cost, while leveraging our internal operational capabilities, but also to examine whether we can increase the risk-adjusted returns while lowering expenses. So how have we designed our AEI to address the scalability, complexity, and cost challenges? Scalability first. The building blocks used to construct most AEI are generally stock constituents, and Shaw, Chu, Kalesnik, and Little from research affiliates show in their very comprehensive study that by design, these AEI have a small size tilt and a low liquidity tilt. So we designed our AEI to avoid these tilts and choose industries. We could have chosen also countries as building blocks for portfolio construction. Industries or countries are key drivers to explain the cross-sectional dispersion in global returns. And further, they represent scalable natural clusters for portfolio construction. Low complexity, using industries or countries instead of stock constituents as building blocks, simplifies the portfolio construction. It allows us to avoid the curse of dimensionality and the error maximization problem documented by Michaud. Low cost, using liquid value-weighted investment cells instead of stock constituents, allows us also to reduce the resultant transaction cost. And further, CBPIB has the operational capability to fund active programs efficiently through country and sector investment cells. Second, we have examined whether industry-based AEI can increase risk-adjusted returns while lowering expenses. So we examine in detail the comparative performance of five risk-based portfolio construction, equally weighted in dollars, equally weighted along low beta industries, equally weighted in risk, minimum variance, maximum diversification. We use the same data set for the five alternative equity indices, U.S. industry data from Kenneth French website from 1964 to 2011. We use the same methodologies, the shrinkage Bayesian estimator for a risk assessment and a four-factor pricing model to analyze risk-adjusted returns. And finally, we tested the robustness of our reserve using more granular building blocks, 30 sectors instead of 10 industries, an out-of-sample period, 1931 to 1964, the different stock universe of the broad market index versus the S&P 500, and different industry classification, global industry classification standards, GICS, versus standard industrial classification, SIC.
All right, and Jean-Francois, how do you expect your findings or results to influence practice?
That I will distinguish the practical implication in the absolute space from the practical implication in the active space and conclude. So first, in the absolute risk and return space, what are our main results? All industry-based AI have posted lower risk, absolute risk, market risk, tail risk, and better returns than the cap-weighted benchmark. How this result can influence practice? Industry or country-based AI are by design scalable, low-cost, and not complex, and these alternative beta strategies can play a significant role in policy portfolios, either by de-risking portfolios without increasing the fixed income allocation, or for similar portfolio risk by replacing equity allocation with active management mandates. However, because AI are not macro-consistent, it probably makes more sense to use them in the active space. So in the active return and in the active risk and return space, what are our main results? Two simple industry-based AI, equally weighted in dollars and equally weighted in risk, displayed statistically significant risk-adjusted outperformance net of transaction costs. How this result can influence practice? In the active management space, industry-based AI can advantageously complement less scalable, higher cost, and complex active management strategies. Forward-looking, we do not expect the same information ratios for industry-based AI as for alpha-oriented strategies, but we can expect significant net dollar value add contribution because, again, the risk can be deployed on a larger asset base.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Probably. I would not be surprised to see additional implication in practice. So more ETFs using less granular building blocks in the equity space, but also probably in the other asset classes, and a trend toward more alternative beta in other pension funds and sovereign wealth funds. As an illustration, MSCI has been engaged by the Norwegian Ministry of Finance to analyze the return and risk characteristics of simple rule-based premium indices for large-scale portfolios, and in the case of the government pension fund of Norway, large-scale means 100 billion, and the focus of this mandate is on size and investability. So in conclusion, to summarize our research, I will recommend the acronym AEIOU for alternative equity indices are overly understated.
Well, Jean-Francois, thanks so much for taking the time to share your research and your ideas with us. And we encourage all of you listening to read this article and other articles from CFA Institute Publications on our website, which is www.cfapubs.org. Thank you for listening.